Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Every parent's worst nightmare is the idea of losing a child. But imagine losing twins on exactly the same day in your own home. That is what happened to Fernando Vega and Angelina Belinda Calderon. And immediately, the community were devastated, the police were confused, and everybody felt utterly bereft for this couple. But 6 months later, the couple faced charges. Because even though at first glance this seemed like some tragic incident, on reflection, it turns out the babies were in a horrific condition. They had injuries across their body, as well as signs of dehydration and malnourishment. In their horrifically short lives, the babies were subjected to inhumane and grotesque treatment at the hands of the parents who are meant to protect them most in this world. This is the tragic case of the deaths of Masael and Marina Vega. I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Hi guys, today's case, oh my God. It is just so heartbreaking. I haven't got a result of the sentencing because it hasn't gone to trial yet, but I just wanted to cover it because it speaks to me on so many levels about the abandonment of nurture that certain individuals bestow on the babies that they are gifted to protect. And this case is just heart-wrenching because we're talking about the death of twins on the same day. And automatically that brings to mind that the one thing we can say about those children is they had exactly the same treatment. That's why their lives ended in the same moments. And that is truly terrifying and disgusting in equal measure. Let's talk about today's utterly horrific case. And this is horrific on every single level. On a personal level, because I'm a mother and I've also got a very young child. On a professional level, because I've worked in safeguarding. And just on a human level, because every single person who comes to my channel, you are all so invested on the protection of people on the whole. So it doesn't matter whether you're 7 or 70, we all care deeply about people's lives and justice for those lives. But we all connect constantly over our desire to ensure the safety of children. And today's case is one of those where it just takes your breath away because it is so breathtakingly gross that this kind of thing can play out in a civilized society. And I think many of us these days sit there and question, is our society anywhere near as civilized as we believed it to be and indeed want it to be? And cases like this shout, no, there's so much more work to be done. And I mean work to be done on a systemic level, where it's to do with authorities and services that are meant to provide care for children and make sure these kind of things do not play out. And also just on a human level within our community, where we notice things, where we notice when parents aren't doing their job, when children are in distress, etc. This is so powerful on all of those fundamental levels. Now, at around 11:15 a.m. on the 4th of October 2023, Houston police are called to 2107 Linden Creek Way. It's on Houston's southeast side. It's here that they make their horrific discovery. They find five-week-old twin baby sisters, so 5 weeks old. They've been here for just over 1 month. After spending all that time in the womb, they've arrived at a point where they should be absolutely doted on. At 5 weeks of age, everyone should be invested in those babies' lives. And the idea that they can both be found unresponsive in their home is harrowing, unless there has been some awful tragic incidents such as carbon monoxide poisoning or a horrendous fire with smoke inhalation. We can see that there are circumstances where children could be found dead at their home or unresponsive in their home due to those kind of issues, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about a tragic accident or a tragic incident regarding some kind of thing that was beyond the parents' control. At this point, the relatives of those children identify them as Masael and Morena Vega. The baby's father, Fernando Vega, he at this point claims that he basically dropped the baby's mum, Angelina Belinda Calderon, off at work and then had left the babies in the care of his grandmother. And then he'd come home and somehow found that the babies were not breathing. So essentially, there's a deflection there, isn't there? He's saying, well, when I left, the babies were fine. I put them in the care of their grandparent. I took my partner to work because I'm a responsible adult. And that's what we do to protect our children. We make sure that we're working. And I was just going about my business doing those things. So that's the picture he's trying to paint as a responsible human being. Now, according to documents, Vega found them in their crib when they were responsive. So the father's come in, discovered that they're not responsive at all, and then taken decisive action. That's the story that's being peddled initially. He then called their mother, Calderon, saying they're not waking up. They're not doing nothing. Now, immediately, we are going to all agree.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That is the weirdest behavior. We've all been in scenarios in our lives where we've wanted support immediately because we find ourselves in a scenario where we're having an accident or where somebody that we love requires support. And the immediate response in those very difficult circumstances is to pick up the phone and to ring your emergency services. It's terrifying, but it's what we do. And we do it because they're the first line of support and defense in these kind of scenarios. What we don't do if we find two individuals non-responsive is pick up the phone to our partner who's at work. First of all, they have to locate that partner at work so that they come on the phone, or even if they have mobile access to their own phone, there's a chance that they won't answer because they're working. You are delaying the opportunity of help coming to unresponsive children when you're making these decisions. And it's very likely that if you make that call to your partner, it's because you know damn well there is a reason those children could potentially be unresponsive, and you're scared. You're instantly scared of the consequences of what you know has played out becoming something so tragic that other people are going to be walking in and seeing this scene. So that's why he likely calls Calderon. And saying to her at work, they're not waking up, they're not doing nothing, at this point must have been traumatizing, irrespective of how Calderon has been with her babies, because there is a powerlessness in that moment. You're not present, you can't do anything about it. The only thing you're gonna want is for the emergency services to turn up. And it's at this point that Vega calls 911. Now, whilst he's on the phone with 911 dispatch, clearly, they are deeply concerned about two unresponsive 5-week-old twins, and so they give instructions on how to perform CPR. And he and another family member actually perform CPR on the babies because there's two of them. So we're dealing with two babies requiring CPR in the same moment. How do we get to a point where 5-week-old babies in exactly the same time frame are requiring this support? What kind of abandonment of responsibility, what kind of abandonment of care has gone on for these consequences to be occurring and playing out in this moment? Now, in spite of the fact that the emergency services get them to do CPR on the babies, Neither of the twins survive, and they're pronounced dead shortly after police and paramedics arrive at the scene, which is the worst possible outcome possible. Now, of course, questions need to be asked. Whenever children die, it can be very, very confronting for the parents. And we're talking about innocent parents. I've had the privilege of working with individuals who have had to go through this horrendous trauma, and it is deeply traumatic. And the trauma is something that we can look at, analyse, and understand the reason behind why it has to occur. But it's also, when you're an innocent parent, something that makes you feel in the line of fire. Because what happens when a baby dies or a child dies is often the police will come and search the home. You will not be treated as an immediate suspect in their death to suggest that you are the individual who's caused it. But they treat the area as a crime scene, which makes you feel immediately like a suspect. Even when they're trying to clarify your innocence, as opposed to decide your guilt, when you are going through the most traumatic experience of your life, the loss of something that means something of absolute immeasurable worth to you, and then you have the police literally going around your home, taking things away, very personal items sometimes, it genuinely can be totally disturbing. So that is normal protocol. But equally, in this case, we aren't looking at this in the same way that we'd be looking at these innocent scenarios that play out for very unfortunate parents. We're looking at the police needing to do this because the reason these babies have died is not down to a terrible situation that they had no control over. Quite the contrary. So he starts with the interview, the police speak to him, and of course he says that he was just somebody who cared for the babies effectively. He'd been looking after them through the night. He told the detectives that the night before the deaths and the day before the deaths, they'd been apparently fussy throughout the night, and that he'd actually put them in a bassinet where they had fallen asleep. So again, what are we hearing from that interview? He's basically saying to the police, I did everything within my power. Yes, I noted that the children were fussy. And it's amazing in these death scenarios, when we're talking about children who died way before their time, that often the parents will use this language, the language of fussy. They were fussy. So the indication that there was nothing too strange about what was happening. There was nothing extreme about their behavior. They weren't hysterical. They weren't looking as if they were seriously unwell. But they weren't settling as well as they usually did. They were fussy. So an indication of, ooh, maybe something was wrong, but it wasn't so pronounced and loud that I actually took any action. So he's minimizing in this moment. He's basically using language that makes it seem that something could have been wrong, but didn't seem so outlandishly wrong that he needed to take action. And then the idea that aside from them being fussy, they'd just gone and fallen to sleep, the indication is, well, how would I have possibly known anything was seriously wrong anyway? Because even though they have been fussing a little bit, they then just fell asleep. And we all want sleeping babies, don't we? I mean, everybody likes it when babies sleep. He then said that he'd last seen them at 6 a.m. in the morning. Allegedly, Calderon, the mother in this, she told the detectives that the night before their deaths, she had seen the babies shortly after midnight when she went to bed. And Calderon then said that in the morning she'd seen the babies at around 8 a.m. and they were sleeping, but she didn't wake the babies up in the morning because she was heading to work. Now, anybody who's ever had a baby ever will tell you that a mother who comes in and, quote, sees the baby, listen to that language, that's the language that was used. She sees the babies shortly after midnight. She doesn't say she's fed the babies, she got them up for a feed, she checked the babies were responding, she checked the babies were okay, because bear in mind, apparently according to her partner, the babies have been fussy. No, she says she's seen them, which suggests opening the door, looking in, checking on those babies, and then leaving. When you have 5-week-old babies, you are going to be doing constant feeds through the night. You're going to be getting up, either breastfeeding, or you're going to be making their bottles. You would not leave 5-week-old babies by themselves in bed between the hours of 12 a.m. and 8 a.m. That is far too long, and any parent who's ever had a baby knows that. So that doesn't make sense at all. And the idea that then on seeing these babies at 8 a.m. and them still being asleep, she doesn't feed them. She just thinks, I'm just going to go to work. You know, I've got a job to do. So I'll just leave my babies who now haven't been fed for many, many hours and I'll just go out. Makes no sense and speaks of neglect. She was then taken to work by her partner, Vega, at around 10:30 a.m. So now we're at 10:30 a.m., guys. So these babies have been seen around midnight. Doesn't sound like they were fed. We're now 10 and a half hours later, and nothing has actually been done with them. They've not been changed. They've not been fed. They've not been checked on. They've just been left. He then gets back around 11 a.m. At this point, he finds the babies unresponsive, calls her, then calls 911. So even when you look at that timeline that I've just discussed, the abandonment level, the neglect level there is absolutely unforgivable. It's as simple as that. Because even if you were to conceive of an idea that these parents had been attentive to their children prior to this, and clearly when people are happy to leave babies for this amount of time, we can immediately say that they will have done this before. But even if we were to grant them this idea that they'd just done it on this occasion, that would still be highly neglectful because those babies have not received any nutrients, any support, any cleaning, any of the things that are just fundamental to the very basic needs of survival where babies are concerned. And the babies were actually found by the police and the paramedics on the couch because obviously CPR had been attempted. And they were found on the couch with discoloured skin and also without detectable pulses. So that suggests that there has been a time frame of death. And that speaks to them potentially being dead for quite a few hours. Again, massive neglect, massive abandonment of care. Now, a week after those gorgeous little girls died, 5 weeks of age, Calderon actually starts a GoFundMe page. That, to me, is bizarre. It really is. When we lose our children, the last thing that we're thinking about is money. In fact, the last thing we're thinking about is anything other than our children that we've lost and how could we have prevented it. We're losing our minds. That's where most parents are in these circumstances. We don't think, oh, I think I'll just go and do a GoFundMe page and get some cash. And the reason that I'm saying that is GoFundMe pages are usually started by other people for family members, and it is a very heartening and worthy thing to do. But it's rarer, unless there is an imminent threat to a particular individual that they're trying to raise money for. We see that where immediate family members are trying to raise money for treatment for a child, etc. It's very rare that after death, you have a parent out of the blue just decide that they're going to do a GoFundMe to try to raise money now the babies have actually died. Because what are you going to do with that money? I mean, they can say they're going to create some kind of display, some kind of nice plot in the actual cemetery. But to all intents and purposes, I find it really distasteful when we're talking about the deaths of two children that literally were abandoned care-wise, clearly by the demonstration timeline I've outlined, that they would then want to raise money because it speaks of something that I would say is less about the children and more about them. Understandably, they raised money, £1,200 was brought because of the fact that people are sympathising with parents. They are horrified that this couple have lost their gorgeous twin daughters, and so they're generous. And that is the beautiful thing about the average human. We have deep amounts of compassion in our hearts. The psychological connection with other human beings who've gone through this enormous loss makes us want to connect with them and help them on every level. And that's exactly what people do. But they are completely unaware at this moment in time that there are going to be the most shocking allegations that are going to come to light. And that means that those people who open their hearts and open their purses and open their wallets to this situation to connect with these individuals have been betrayed too. Because they are giving, as far as they're concerned, to bereft human beings, bereft parents who need support, as opposed to giving to perpetrators of the highest level. Now, strangely, initially, the police actually announced that there were no visible signs of serious traumatic injuries to either child. Houston Police Assistant Chief Patricia Cantu actually told reporters, "This is a very, very tragic, heartbreaking scene. Obviously, the family is devastated." Now, of course, I'm not saying for 1 minute that people weren't devastated about the loss of these babies. In the wider family, those without direct responsibility for the children, I'm sure they're absolutely appalled that the children have died. I'm sure they're devastated by the loss. But when it comes down to the parents, the idea that they have the same level of grief when they without doubt have contributed to the outcome I'm talking about today, I'm very suspicious of. And I understand that the police want to be very empathic and caring to the family at this moment in time. But equally, I think initially it gave the couple a free pass to be seen as individuals who were grieving parents who were going through a tragic loss, as opposed to parents who were deserving of the judgment of those in the community of the gravest level. Now, unsurprisingly, as they start to dig deeper into this case, a lot more suspicion starts to grow over the parents of the children. And the reason for this is detectives start to notice the literal appalling state the infants were in at the time of their deaths. So, in spite of that initial suggestion that there was nothing obvious that had caused their deaths, so they weren't looking at a case where children had been murdered, when they start to dig deeper, they notice multiple bruises around their rib cages and arms and contusions. In fact, one five-week-old child, had multiple fractures. Just let that sink in. We're talking about five-week-old children with multiple fractures. Both of them have clearly experienced abuse. One potentially even more than the other. But nonetheless, just consider the vulnerability of these children and also the way that that vulnerability is being exploited by the adults who are meant to care for them. Now, an autopsy was carried out by Dr. Jesus Rico, who's a pathologist at the Harris County Institute of Forensic Science. And it is not a pretty story. It is horrific to know what played out with those children. It is incomprehensible to imagine that the 5 weeks these babies were on this planet, they were gifted to such monsters, as far as I'm concerned. Just think about the words blunt force injuries in association with five-week-old babies, but that's what we're talking about. So they have blunt force injuries. There were old injuries, there were new injuries on both of the children. Some were days or even weeks old. They lived for 5 weeks, and some of the injuries were weeks old. So we're talking about from the very get-go, these twins were treated in the most deplorable way. There were contusions on various parts of their body. One infant had contusions on the forehead, torso, feet, and arms. One of the girls had multiple fractures, including to the left femur, ribs, and clavicle. Some of these fractures were actually partially healed because they were older, and this means that investigators automatically realise that multiple beatings had happened throughout their short lives. Multiple beatings. 5 weeks old. Twins. Every baby is a blessing, it goes without saying. But when you are gifted with twins, there is just something so ultimately beautiful about that, isn't there? That you kind of have this opportunity to go through a pregnancy. And yes, it's challenging and it's difficult for a mother to do that. But then you have two babies and those babies are connected in the most beautiful of ways. And they will spend every birthday, every Christmas at the same age, same stage. They'll go to school together. They'll lead their lives together. They'll often have these really strong connections. So even though it is stressful, of course it is, you have two babies. That's two babies to feed, two babies to clothe, two babies to bring up, two babies to love, absolutely two babies to split your time with. And that can add stress, yes. But in the long term, what a beautiful story. And they were given that opportunity. And what we are hearing about is they took that opportunity. And not only did they destroy it, they literally destroyed the babies that came with it. It's very easy to decide that you don't want to have your babies. You can hand them over to child services. If you really are not in a space and place where you want to bring them up, there are going to be people who are very happy to bring them up for you, particularly two beautiful twin girls. So you have options. Instead, to take those children home and then to use them as some kind of personal punching bag, which undoubtedly has played out in this case, it betrays every single aspect, not just of a parent, but as a human being who should be prepared to look after the vulnerable in our society, and children are the most vulnerable. So investigators are now formulating a picture that terrible things have happened to these babies throughout this tiny amount of time they've been alive. And although both of the twins had very similar injuries, one of them also had a head fracture, one of the twins' injuries were actually consistent with three separate incidents, according to the authorities, so a minimum of three occasions that child has been horribly hurt. One of the babies showed evidence of acute brain bleeding, and the other suffered hemorrhaging of the brain and spinal cord, and that was indicative of recent trauma. So Dr. Rico clarified that the injuries probably were caused by shaking the babies or also direct blunt force trauma. So when shaking or direct blunt force trauma injuries occur, it tends to come from frustrated parenting. So the parent can't make the child be quiet, the parent's tired of the screaming, the parent's feeling angry, and then they eventually grab the child and either shake them, which of course the brain is in a situation where it's very vulnerable and it can literally move around in the head and it can cause terrible damage, or the child is thrown, you know, either thrown back into the cot, for example, or thrown against a hard object. That is very consistent with serious abuse of babies. We see that play out, sadly, more often than it ever should. But that tends to come from that frustration response and not getting your own way, the childish response of just shut up, but unfortunately doing it in a way that is absolutely catastrophic for the babies. But also, on top of these horrific injuries, so even if we're going to look at it as some kind of horrendous incident where a parent has just lost their patience, come to the end of their tether and thrown the child or shook the child. That would be terrible. That would be horrific. But add to that the fact that both of the babies were severely malnourished and dehydrated, which is beyond a shadow of a doubt obvious because of the timeline I talked about before. They've not been being fed. They're not being given the nutrients that are required. So not only are they being horribly abused in the home, they're being starved. They're not able to thrive. And that's why they didn't come round for all that period of time. They didn't have the energy, the building blocks of survival to actually be present. So even if they were dealing with agonizing pain, they wouldn't have had the actual energy to scream. They wouldn't have been able to express their discontent because they don't have the building blocks of survival because they weren't being given to them. They weren't being fed effectively. And that, again, speaks to an absolute abandonment on every level. The autopsy ended up determining that the children had died from multiple injuries which had been caused by a blunt object, but clearly these other factors contributed. Dr. Rico informed the authorities that the injuries on each twin were inflicted intentionally, not accidentally, and that they should have been recognised and treated by the caregivers. So even if a caregiver hadn't been the one to inflict the agonising injuries that the child sustained, what that doctor is saying is they should have noticed. The fact that nobody actually attended the incidents that had led to these children being in pain meant that no one was looking after them appropriately. So like I said, even if you have not been the person who've been present when those children have received those kind of injuries, you are culpable because once those injuries have occurred, you have ignored the needs of that child. You've not got them help medically. You've not even noticed potentially that they're in agony. That means you are neglectful at the highest level when it comes to parenting. It was also discovered that the children had not received any checkups since being released from hospital, and they had also been born prematurely. I myself had a child who was born prematurely, my first son. I treated him like glass, and rightfully so, because first of all, he's premature, and therefore the fact that he's okay made me feel even more connected to him. The reality is, I can't believe that in spite of all the problems that occurred, I get to hold him, I get to love him, I get to eventually take him home, how blessed I am. And that mindset is what carries you forward. You will do anything for your child because you're just so blessed and happy that they are okay. So you are also at this point advised by the medics and the experts around you what to do, how to act, how to attend, because they want to make sure that when they release you from hospital, you're doing the best for your child as well. So to all intents and purposes, these parents will have been advised about all these things. And they will have known that one of the things that we want to check on is failure to thrive where premature babies are concerned. But they haven't gone to any hospital checkups. And the problem here I have is that if we have twins that should be being checked upon and they're not being taken to any appointments, surely some kind of care services should get involved. And I do feel that that is a failure. I believe that there are premature babies being released to the care of young parents, and those young parents are not actually attending any appointments, then maybe a checkup should have been done because they are very vulnerable at this age. Now, Calderon told the police that the twins had been sick, but that she did not seek medical care. So as the mother in this case, she's saying, yeah, they have been sick, but hey, we didn't bother actually going and getting any care for them, which again is deeply abandoning of care. On the 18th of April, 2024, Dr. Rico updated the police on the cause of death for the twins and ruled it a homicide. So about 6 months after the babies died, Fernando Vega, the father, and Angelina Belinda Calderon, the mother, who are both 21 at this point, are arrested for the abuse that led to the deaths of their daughters. This happens on Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. There is a question of why it's taken 6 months after the babies died for those arrests to be made, because obviously there were horrific signs of abuse pretty much from the get-go. Nonetheless, deciding on what to charge the parents with, deciding which direction to take the case, is something that's going to take time. I would imagine that's why there has been that gap. So at this point, both parents are charged with 2 counts of causing serious bodily injury to a child. 1 count is injury to a child by commission and 1 of omission. Commission means actually committing the injury on the child, and omission means that they did not take care of the children, so what they failed to do during and after. They then get held at the Harris County Jail on $750,000 bond. So they're not going to be getting out. No one's going to be coming along with $750,000. Basically, they're going to be incarcerated until their trial. Now, court records claimed that both Vega and Calderon assaulted the infants with and against a blunt object, neglected to ensure their safe supervision, failed to provide necessary medical attention and nourishment, and also utilised a deadly weapon during the incident. Both charges are first degree felonies, so this means that if they're found guilty, the parents could literally spend the rest of their life behind bars. I would have absolutely no problem with that kind of a result. Genuinely, I don't think you get to be more horrendous as a human being than to allow your children to die in such terrible circumstances. And we're talking about 2 children dying. It genuinely deserves the strongest of sentences. Now, during an initial probable cause court hearing, I would say that Calderon seems far more emotional than the father in this case. She actually has this really emotional outburst, and this is at the end of her appearing in court. She actually says, you were the last one with my kids and they fucking died. You're making me look like I'm a bad person. I was at work when they fucking died. And this is obviously referring to Vega, the father in this case. She's angry with him. But I would say, Calderon, you can't say you were the last one with my kids when they died. Because actually he drove you to work. You were with him through the night. You went and checked on your babies. You told the police that you saw them within certain time frames, didn't attend them, didn't feed them. A big part of why they were so unwell is to do with the fact that they were malnourished and they weren't cared for, and that's on your watch. You can't just throw up a card at the end going, I was at work when they actually died. Were you at work when they were injured every time? Were you at work when they weren't fed every time? You weren't at work 24/7 their entire life. They were 5 weeks old. 5 weeks old. So that emotional outburst and that projection, I don't buy into it just being Vega. I am sure that when it comes down to potential injuries, there could be a higher likelihood that Vega was the individual who'd actually harm them physically. He chooses to call her at work before calling emergency services. That in itself suggests a level of culpability and guilt. But she is certainly complicit in how these children have ended up in this scenario. She's had 5 weeks to be present with those children, to feed them appropriately, to clean them appropriately, to take care of them appropriately, to tend to them when they're in pain, which they would have been after the horrible blunt force trauma that they've suffered. And yet now she's in court. Now she's being called to account for the fact that these babies died. She just wants to make him out to be the bad guy, that she's somehow innocent because she was at work the moment they died, albeit he'd driven her to work, got back, and then called her at work when he found them, meaning that realistically, he was also at work with her until minutes before he got home and actually found the children in this situation. So it's a very convenient projection to just throw it all at him. And the couple actually appeared separately in court as their attorney asked for bond reductions, because clearly their attorney want them to be able to leave court. the argument will be, well, they're not a risk to anybody else. They'll be saying they're not a flight risk, but that they should be home with the people who love them whilst they're dealing with this very challenging situation. Understandably, that's not the way that it's going to go. The couple didn't comment whilst in court. Now, Calderon's family, they got contacted to get their side of the story because people are really interested in how on earth this has played out. Has anybody else been aware of the fact that these parents are doing such a horrendous job? One family member said, I quote, it was God's will. Honestly, really? You're gonna have an opportunity to basically talk about twins being found horribly injured and also dying due to traumatic injury and also malnutrition. And your response is, when asked about this scenario, not to condemn the parents, not to say it's a travesty that this has occurred, not to say, I wish I'd known because I could have done A, B or C, but to just hold your hands up and go, it was just God's will. Was it just God's will? Yes, it was just God's will. Wouldn't that mean that like everything that ever happens is God's will? Yeah, it's all God's will. Would that basically mean that when, I don't know, serial killers come along, take an individual, torture them brutally for days, then murder them, that's God's will? It's God's will. So basically, if it's God's will, and this is just the way it's meant to be, is that what you're saying? Yeah, it's God's will. So like, should we even have courts or prisons? Because it's all God's will. Yeah, it's God's will. I'm just gonna punch you really hard in the face with my camera that I'm hanging onto. Is that God's will? No, that's assault. That's a felony. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it when people come out with this. It's God's will. Is it God's will? Sorry, what are you doing? I'm just pushing past you. Don't push past me. This is my house. No, I'm pushing past you. And I'm going to get your TV. I'll get your TV because God's just said it's his will. I remove your big TV. Oh, I'm taking your dinner as well. Is that an electric wheelchair? I'm having that as well because my mum needs one these days. It's all God's will. Do you know what I mean? God's will. Sorry. Just don't blame the big G-O-D for this. Ain't God's will. I mean, it might be a certain type of God's will, which would be a antichrist type will, but nonetheless, it's God's will. Doesn't actually liberate further because obviously it's the worst description ever and anybody could completely discredit that kind of comment in a moment. Also, since the arrest of the couple, some of Calderon's family have tried to just push the blame onto Vega. Of course, it's very convenient, isn't it? Calderon's own sister actually stood by her sister. She's refused to accept that her sister had any involvement in the baby's death. So he has no involvement at all in the baby's death. So in fact, Calderon's sister is basically, my sister is an ethereal creature. She is floating on the clouds because she's almost godlike, because a lot of this is God's will. And she basically has a halo. Beyonce is probably going to do a song about her, the ethereal creature with a halo. No, sorry. I appreciate a loyal sister. Do not get me wrong. I appreciate loyal family members. I appreciate people who cannot bear to believe that somebody they love could do something heinous. We all accept that good people can be related to bad people and believe that bad people are good people. We all know that this plays out. But the idea that that sister is saying, my sister did nothing wrong. In fact, let me tell you what she said. She said, my sister is one of the best mothers that I know. Now, I'm gonna throw it out there. If your sister is one of the best mothers that you know, social care need to be aware of every other mother that you know, including your own mother, and they need to go and do some investigative work around them, because if the bar that you have for a best mother is your sister, whose baby's died after being horrendously neglected, abandoned, malnourished, and blunt force traumatized, then your bar is one that should be the benchmark for removing all children from every other mother that you know. Because if she's the best one, you know, you either only know her and your own, or every other mother that you know is a deeply problematic mother. Because that mother in the case, your sister, irrespective of whether her hands created the injuries that led to their deaths. Her hands neglected those babies' needs. Her hands didn't feed those babies. Her hands didn't clean those babies. Her hands did not attend to those babies. Her hands did not call emergency services for those babies. Her hands did not visit healthcare providers with those babies. Her hands failed those babies. She's not the best mother that anyone knows. She's one of the worst mothers that walks the planet. And the evidence of that is two babies who died in the most traumatic and horrific of ways. But again, what is Calderon's sister's excuse for this mindset? Well, my sister was at work the day the children died, so she couldn't be responsible. As if you can only be responsible if the child dies at the exact moment that the injury occurs. You know, as opposed to injuries can be sustained that can lead to death over hours or days, which she could absolutely have been present for. Calderon's sister also basically said that her own sister had said to her, I don't know what he did to them. So again, that idea of, well, you know, I know what I didn't do, but I don't know what he did. And I always find it really suspicious when somebody comes out with a quote like that, I don't know what he did to them. Because basically you're saying, well, you know, I did nothing. It must have been him, he did everything. And something terrible happened to these babies, but I don't know what happened to them because I wasn't present when he did all these things. You know, this idea that you pick these moments in time where you weren't present and suggests that that absolutely absolves you of guilt, as opposed to saying, oh my God, if he did something to them and they were in pain, how was I failing to notice this? Where's my accountability? Where's my responsibility? How could I have prevented this? She's not doing that. She's going straight down the line of, I don't want to be seen as guilty. I'm going to project all of this blame onto this man. And we can't take her words as truth. We simply can't. Also, I would say that Calderon's family have come together in a very PR organized way to say that Vega was abusive towards her. Well, that may be true. Until the court case occurs, I cannot say whether Vega was more abusive than Calderon to the babies. I would hazard a guess it's more likely that he is the person who inflicted more of the traumatic injuries on the babies. However, Calderon was there neglecting them and adding to the trauma and certainly is complicit in this. And coming together as a family when you don't actually know the details of this case and just presuming and assuming that Vega, the father, is the only responsible party is naive. It's as simple as that. It's naive. We understand where it comes from. You care for people that you love, but it is naive. They also have said that Vega was abusive towards Calderon. That may well be the case. Equally, if you are in a scenario where your partner is violent to you and you have premature babies that you're bringing up and they are being aggressive towards them, get them out of the situation. Clearly, you had family around you who love and support you. Get them out of the situation. Also, court documents do show that 2 weeks earlier, Vega had been arrested for unlawfully restraining Calderon. And it's an interesting one, unlawfully restraining, because unlawfully restraining basically means that you're holding on to somebody, you're trying to prevent them from doing something. Now, that can be preventing them leaving. And classic, that's an unlawful restraint, without a doubt. It can be that you're trying to stop them punching you. Just throwing it out there. I don't know the details, but I'm saying when it comes down to domestic abuse, restraining is not assaulting. So you're not punching or kicking, you're not attacking, you're preventing somebody doing something. Like I said, if that's the way that he acts as a perpetrator, that is despicable and disgusting. But we cannot simply assume that he was going out of his way to just be violent to her. It could be there was an altercation taking place where she was also being aggressive, and the way that he's managing that situation is to indeed restrain her. So, like I said, it's murky regarding who does what in this relationship. Calderon's aunt, she's a woman called Sarah Calderon, she said to the local news that both parents needed to be held accountable for their actions because Sarah Calderon actually has a soul and a conscience and actually understands that both parents have clearly been complicit in this. She said, I'm just really disappointed. It hurts. It really does break my heart. They both need to be held accountable. So she said, because okay, even if I don't think she would physically harm them, like the babies weren't even taken care of. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. This is about the babies being neglected on every level. They were physically abused. They were neglectfully abused. They were no doubt emotionally abused. These are all contributors to their death. She also said that the old injuries and malnourishment the investigators found meant that they both deserved to be punished. She said, I'm sure he did one more thing right. But the injuries, weeks old, some of them. So what are you going to say about that? It's not just that one time. And what are you going to say about them being malnourished and dehydrated? It's absolutely correct. And that's the bigger picture. So Calderon's family, who are standing by her, can just project the blame on the father in this case. But clearly, she had many opportunities that she could have intervened to create a different outcome. She chose not to. She chose not. If she can get herself to work every day, then she can get up and feed the kids. If she can attend to her responsibilities while she's going about her daily business at work, she can attend to her responsibilities when she's home with the children. If she can notice, for example, a customer's needs, then she can notice when her child is responding to a requirement for food. That didn't happen. That same man said that she wanted justice for the twin nieces and believes that until that happens, the babies won't be at peace. She said, they were definitely loved. It was hard when they passed away. I couldn't believe it. I can't stop thinking about what they went through. And that's what somebody with a conscience has, that capacity to be able to empathise and stand in the shoes of others and to imagine what those babies went through in those final moments in weeks. And they were only here for 5 weeks. Now, Vega's defence attorney, a guy called Mario Madrid, he said his client was just, quote, coming to terms with the seriousness of the charges. I mean, really? You were coming to terms with it? Both of your babies are dead. How long do you need to come to terms with it? Surely it's a pretty instantaneous reality. If it comes down to this young man realizing the rest of his life is likely going to be something that he serves behind bars, I understand that he's coming to terms with what he's going to lose. But the idea that he needs to come to terms with the seriousness of the charges is ludicrous when we're talking about the fact that he no longer has two babies because he was involved in killing them. And the egocentricity of being like, oh my God, really? People care enough that I might have to spend the rest of my life behind bars? That speaks, yes, to a naivety, yes, to a, shall we say, emotional immaturity that's certainly in line with the way those babies were treated, but also fundamentally to a selfishness that is beyond belief. Because what he's saying is it really that serious that I might have to spend the rest of my life behind bars? It's a resounding yes, Vega. A resounding yes. We can all have a round robin and everyone will go, yes, you should probably never see the light of day again because you let your babies die in the most heinous of circumstances and you contributed to their deaths. They don't get to live another day. Whether you spend the rest of your life behind bars or otherwise, it's life. You denied that of both of your babies. That same defense lawyer said the moment was big for him with the court. He said, I found him to be respectful with the court. I found him to be very respectful, but also very scared about the charges he is facing. So is that the mark that we have as a defense lawyer? That when Vega went into court, he was respectful and he was a bit scared. That somehow that stands out as him being a decent human. Lots of us can act in court like we're a decent human. And of course, being scared about the charges you're facing makes sense, but only because you're caring about you. You're not scared about the fact that you carried out the most heinous actions towards your child and children in this case. You're scared because you're going to lose your freedom. And now you're going to put on the biggest act you can to make out that even though you've done something truly heinous, one day you'll be safe to walk the streets again. It's an elaborate act as opposed to a respectful show of the true human that you are. Now, it's believed by the police that the infant daughters suffered multiple beatings at the hands of the parents and were starved before their deaths in October 2023. The condition of the infants was described as utterly alarming. The prosecutor in this case said the allegations against the pair are, quote, horrific. They say that Vega and Calderon intentionally inflicted the injuries on the twin girls and obviously should have sought medical care. According to the prosecutor, the prison could face up to 99 years or life in prison. So the penalty actually for their charges ranges from 5 years to 99 years for this crime. I would imagine because we're looking at a consistent pattern of abuse, and also there's two babies involved, and also there's two parents who could have actually made a difference to the outcome, that we're looking at a more severe punishment year-wise regarding this charge and regarding this case if they're found guilty. Understandably, because the pathologist did rule this as a homicide, then if the prosecutor can gather more evidence and a grand jury decides that they can be charged with murder or additional charges, then that will happen. So the jury still really is out on this case. I will update this in the description below when I have a result, when it goes to court. I probably will also do a longer version, but I wanted to react now because it is so present and in the press, and it is just something that's really affected me. I'm sure it's affected so many of you. Like I said, I'll be really interested to see whether there's systemic failures and actually these children should have been checked on by social care and by doctors and medics, etc., because they were premature. And I feel like after 5 weeks, if they hadn't been checked up on, that should have occurred. And it could be that there are the classic lessons learned that we're used to on this channel. But certainly right now, the guilt, I think, is going to be split to both parents. And I do believe that both parents are going to be looking at a very hefty term in prison, unless one parent decides to say that they acknowledge that they are the responsible party, but that will not deny that the other parent has still been involved in the systemic neglect and abandonment of care of these children leading to their deaths. So both are undoubtedly, in my opinion, going to serve hefty prison sentences, and I think they absolutely 100% deserve to. Let me know how you feel about this case, guys. I know that for some of you who haven't been able to have children, we talk about that often on my lives when I do my premieres. We've all shared that because of my own story of infertility. It just breaks your heart when you see that two perfect babies were born into the hands of monsters, and that those monsters stole the lives and opportunities, where it comes down to the future of those babies, the care of those babies, and the love that those babies 100% deserved to experience.